Welcome back. It's 12 minutes past 8 a.m. this beautiful morning. Today is 30 July. And yes, it is also the World Day Against Trafficking in Persons. And this is a day that seeks to highlight the danger, the fact that human trafficking is a very, very serious crime and a grave violation of human rights. Now, every year, thousands of men and women and children fall into the hands of traffickers in their own countries and even abroad. This is across the world. And most countries in the world are affected by trafficking. In fact, every country, and whether it is a country of origin, whether you're just passing through or you're going there for maybe vacation or medication or something, or maybe you're going to look for a job, this trafficking issue is a very serious one. Now, according to the 2020 assessments report released jointly by the International Organization for Migration and the National Task Force, confirmed that trafficking in persons exists also in South Sudan. And although South Sudan is yet to ratify the United Nations Convention on the Transitional Organized Crimes and its protocols, the Task Force on Counter Trafficking Persons already has in place some efforts to address this issue, to try and suppress it, prevent it, but also to punish those who are found guilty of this crime of trafficking in persons in the country. And so this is something that is being spearheaded by the United Nations Association of South Sudan, UNAS. And this is a national, non-governmental, civil society organization that provides the link between South Sudanese, the Republic itself, South Sudan, and the United Nations. And to make sure that we work together to address such issues. Now, this morning, I have Mr. Joseph Kenyi Samuel, who is the president of UNAS, which is United Nations Association in South Sudan, and he's also a member of the task force that counters trafficking of in-persons in South Sudan. Now, with him is Consul Sabri Wani of the Ministry of Justice and Constitutional Affairs, who is also the co-chair of the National Task Force on Counter-Trafficking in Persons in South Sudan. Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for joining me.
Good morning, too.
Yes, I'll throw this first question to Mr. Joseph Kenyi. What is human trafficking? Let's just get a broad understanding of it, and how prevalent is it in South Sudan?
Yeah, human trafficking is a very heinous crime that besets humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it involves issues like fraud, issues like taking of people from one place to the other,
mm-hmm.
and many others. Yeah.
So when you said taking of people, do they mean they agree to be taken, or is it by force? Are they manipulated? How does this work, this whole trafficking business?
Exactly. They're being coerced or being forced to go, against their will.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes they're being misled. They'll be giving some promises, but all vague.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the trafficker will say to them, okay, let me take you to South Sudan, for example, from Uganda to South Sudan, and that we're going to give you a nice job in Juba.
Mm-hmm.
But after reaching Juba, things become different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is what is meant by trafficking. Yeah, something like misleading. Huh?
Yeah.
Elusive.
Is it something that's happening? Are there cases of this in South Sudan?
Yeah, there's so many cases in South Sudan. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you have an example that you know of and how it happened?
Yeah, I think Maulana Sabri.
Yes, Sabri, go ahead.
He's the one working on such cases.
Take.
He's actually the co-chair of the anti-trafficking task force, and I think he has the detail as a lawyer. He has compiled a lot of cases, but he can give you some.
Yes, Maulana, you're the one directly now working on this. We've gotten the definition. So, what are some of the cases that are happening in South Sudan?
Okay, before talking about cases that are happening in South Sudan, I would like also to add that for the human trafficking to occur, there must be like three elements very important to be considered.
Mm-hmm.
The first element is an action.
action.
And the second one is the means that will be used by the trafficker.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one, and which is very important, is the purpose for exploitation, whether for labor exploitation or for sex exploitation,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes sale of organ.
Mm-hmm.
So for the human trafficking to be considered that it is a human trafficking, there must be recruitment, harboring, transportation, soliciting for purpose of exploitation for sex or either labor service. And the means usually used in the crime of human trafficking is through a force, sometimes fraud, and sometimes deception. And usually the victim, regardless of the age of the victim,
mm-hmm.
And most of the victims are women and children, in some time men in cases of labor service.
Yes.
The problem in South Sudan, people are not aware about these elements. That's why in most cases there is no clear report from the victim,
mm-hmm.
to the police station. And the laws in South Sudan does not tackle the human trafficking in the categories of the human trafficking. It is like different crimes under different names, but it form one of the forms of human trafficking. For example,
mm-hmm.
For the human trafficking, like there is a 10 type of forms of this human trafficking.
So it has different faces.
Different faces,
mm-hmm.
and the center is exploitation.
Okay.
For example, you may find exploitation for purpose of begging. This is a kind of human trafficking.
Okay.
Exploitation for purpose of sexual, commercial sex. Exploitation for forced marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Exploitation for selling of organ or selling of children.
Mm-hmm.
Removal of organ. And then also child soldier. All these exploitation forms, it is form the human trafficking offenses.
So but which of these happen mostly in South Sudan?
Based on the report, you may find like there is a recruitment of children in the soldier,
mm-hmm.
Armed groups.
Mm-hmm.
This is in previous time, but this day there is no in the army, but it is in the militias.
Mm-hmm.
Then also you may find some communities there is still having a habit of selling children.
Okay.
To other communities, and there is issues of kidnapping children and force them, for example, for labor force or to go for cattle in the other communities. This is some of
element. To go and work in cattle camp.
Yes, and then also you may find in some communities there is a forced marriage. And forced marriage is there is element of exploitation for sex.
So it falls under trafficking.
Yes, it falls under trafficking. If it is forced marriage, and again, if it is early marriage for the children,
mm-hmm.
and also you may find some children are being forced for begging by certain individual or
in
certain communities in the street,
mm-hmm.
and this also there is a element of exploitation of this. Children in this work, and if you go for the places of mining and agricultural operation, you may find some of laborers that they're being working in a situation which is not conducive, and at the same time they are being denied the right for to be paid, and sometimes right for treatment, and this situation also can be considered a forced labor. Human trafficking, yes.
And still they should have been moved from one place to another.
Yes.
Deceived in the process.
Yes. The important thing is that you find that there is an element of action, like being harbored or being recruited to
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the element of they're being forced or deception or fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And then the purpose is for either labor service or servitude or sex. In some areas, you may find people being removed
the
organ.
Organs.
Yes.
Okay.
So if it's happening like this, then it can be considered human trafficking. Unfortunately,
okay.
these crimes, these are being criminalized under different laws in South Sudan,
mm-hmm.
like Penal Code, Child Act, and SPLA, and labor.
Okay.
But it is not categorized under the name of human trafficking or sex trafficking or labor trafficking.
But in honesty, it
names,
falls under this.
Yes, under
now, we've talked about what's happening in South Sudan.
Yes.
Now, what about people getting trafficked out of South Sudan? Have we had cases where South Sudanese have been taken out of South Sudan and these things have happened to them?
Yes, we have reports. It is still intelligence reports. We receive different reports from ROC. ROC is one of the organization,
mm-hmm.
a regional organization for cooperation, collecting of data in regard to human trafficking.
Yes.
And also from Interpol that there is numbers of South Sudanese victims of human trafficking being trafficked from South Sudan to Libya, and some of them are detained there,
mm-hmm.
and
Libya.
some of them are being detained for purpose of requesting ransom from their families to be paid. The good thing is the collaboration with the government of Sudan. Some of them got released and they went to their origin or country mm-hmm. to come to South Sudan, and some of them is still a victim.
When was this?
It is in different occasion, like this year.
This particular
different,
year.
Yes. And even in addition to that, there is also like element of some of children were trafficked from Kapoita to Uganda. And the traffickers were arrested in Uganda and the victims were brought back to South Sudan. And we are working as a task force so that we will be able to make sure that the traffickers are prosecuted, whether in Uganda or in South Sudan.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's come back to you, Joseph. How long has this task force been in existence?
Yeah, thank you, Lucy. The task force was formed in 2019.
Yes, yes.
2019. Yeah, towards the end of the year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it comprised members from the government, particularly the Ministry of Interior,
mm-hmm.
now the Ministry of Justice and Constitutional Affairs, being represented by First Counsel Sabri, and also from the Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare, Ministry of Labour, also from the civil society, like myself now, the UN Association, and then I think those are the ones that have formed the National Task Force by now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the future, we'll keep on adding to the task, the National Task Force.
Okay.
Maybe to include, members of the private sector, the companies,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and others.
And what would you say are, Sabri just mentioned a lot of cases that you're working on. How would you say you've managed this trafficking issue all this time? What are some of your achievements and how are you working through this? Is it working smoothly or are you facing challenges? What's your journey like?
Yeah, very interesting. I think for South Sudan, it has become a new phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so after the formation of the task force, then it seemed like the work now is coming up. Yeah, for the UN Association, we have established the help desk as a referral mechanism for victims who may come along our way. Yeah, so far, we got only one person.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lady.
Yes.
Who was supposed to be married to a man by force. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then we intervened. Now the lady is being taken back to school.
Wow.
In state of...
How old is this lady?
Yeah, she's between 16 and 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's definitely underage. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. So, this is the beginning of our work. So, we just formed our help desk
mm-hmm.
as a referral mechanism.
So, this help desk, how can it be accessed?
Yeah, it's just under the premises of the UN Association of South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
So, if there's anything... We also behave like journalists. Whenever we hear anything about human trafficking, we just rush there.
Okay.
To trace the victims, yes.
Okay.
And those who know about us will just come automatically.
Okay.
To our side.
Towards the end, maybe you can tell us where the location is. For those who don't know, they will be able to know. Let me come back to you, Maulana Sabri. Now, you've mentioned, you gave all these examples. Is there a difference between how human trafficking happens in South Sudan and in other countries?
There is no difference because based on the reports, the first report launched by the task force,
mm-hmm.
you may find that there is like forms of labor trafficking, but unfortunately the victims are not willing to report. They are afraid of the system, or they are not aware about how to report. Mm-hmm. So that's why the Task Force takes initiative of taking or carrying out awareness campaign. We went to some of the states, and then we conducted high-level awareness for the higher stakeholders. And even we are carrying some of the capacity building for our law enforcement agencies, so that they will be knowing the element of human trafficking, so that they will start investigating properly according to the international standard.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like to emphasize here is that there is some of the achievement. We concluded the legal gap analysis. We identified the gap within our legal system, and now we are on a process of proposing a draft bill, comprehensive bill, for combating human trafficking in terms of preventing, protecting, prosecution, and rehabilitation.
What are some of the gaps you identified?
The gaps we identified, we can say that the punishment is not stringent, and even some elements of human trafficking are not stipulated correctly. And then again, there is no agencies that can rehabilitate the victim, agencies that can mainly concern about the investigation. And the challenges is that currently some of the victims are being deported back, and then it is entrapped on the investigation. You cannot find the traffickers, yes, because of being deported. And there is overlap between some of the law enforcement agencies. Everyone feel that it is their
responsibility.
Function. Yes. And finally, also, this day, the World Day Against Trafficking is being under the theme that victim voice lead the way.
Mm-hmm.
Victim voice lead the way. And why they say victim voice lead the way? Because they emphasize the importance of listening and learning from the survivors about what they have been gained. And because the survivors, according to the international standard, that they are the key actors in fighting against human trafficking. So when you listen to the survivor, you will come across the trauma they come through,
mm-hmm.
and even the experience, and you will know the actors and the traffickers, and how they were brought to the country, and how they are being hide, and even also you know about some of them are being re-victimized by the authorities or by through a punishment. For example, they are being forced for the sex trafficking, and in the country they will be considered as a prostitutes, and in the same time as illegally entering in the country, and sometimes they will not be given protection.
Yeah.
So the international day say that you have to listen to the victim, and then so that you can drive from lower their histories the approach that you can combat human trafficking.
So let me come back to this issue of punishment.
Yes.
Before we talk about the day in detail.
Yes.
You said that the punishment is not stringent enough.
Yes.
What is the current punishment for a guilty trafficker?
Because the traffic, the form of trafficking, there is an element of aggravated traffic.
Mm-hmm.
For example, where there is the intimidation of the victim using the gun, and sometimes wrongfully detain the victim and abuse the victim. So this kind of fact necessitate that when you are trying before the court, you have to bring aggravated factors so that you can raise the punishment. But you find the punishment within the law is fixed. For example, you may not find punishment for a life imprisonment for the trafficker.
Mm-hmm.
It is in some section, it is, for example, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. It will not extend to life imprisonment.
And yet some cases are too great.
Yes, too
great,
too great, and need that you have to make a very severe sentence according to what they have committed.
I see. Yes. And this policy that you're coming up with is going to address address this?
Yes. When we are going to present the bill to the concerned authority, then we will address the issue of stringent punishment, the issue of aggravated facts for traffickers who are committed traffic with the intimidation and using gun and, for example, posting the photos and the videos of the victims, mm-hmm. for example, in social media.
Yes.
This should be a lot of punishment will be put it.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Let's come now to the day. Today is the day that is that is recognized. It's there to remember that trafficking is actually an issue, but also to to enforce the methods to address this issue. Joseph, do you think this day can save South Sudan? Just commemorating this day and creating awareness about it can save South Sudan and even those other states from the effects of human trafficking.
Exactly, Lucy. I think it's the third event that we are commemorating in South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
We actually started in 2019. Yeah, the UN Association in partnership with the International Organization for Migration. Yeah. So by commemorating this day, I think we're going to have an impact which will be positive in terms of the same thing, understanding about human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Because this term seems like a very vague phenomenon, for other people. What is human trafficking? Yeah? So this is it. And particularly this year, the theme is wonderful.
Yeah.
The theme for this year is victims.
It's victim-centered.
Yeah, lead the way, yeah. Which puts victims of human trafficking at the center of the campaign that we're doing, yeah?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, by listening to them, and then, we'll have to document on what has happened to them. That can serve as a basis for other outreach activities.
So how are we commemorating this day this year?
That's good. So for this year, from the side of the UN Association, we are going to organize the academic and civil society forum.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be today, but due to the holiday, then it's adjourned to the 5th of August.
Okay.
Yeah. So that forum will be there, whereby we'll be having some key speakers, of course, including Maulana here,
mm-hmm.
and then experts from the National Legislative Assembly, the Ministry of Interior, and also from IOM.
Okay.
So, they'll be there to give the briefings to the audience, of course, academia and the civil society.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, it will become like an interactive session,
okay.
whereby the civil society and the academia will be strengthened or be empowered to do more.
Is this a public event or is it a closed event?
It's a public event.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think you're welcome.
So where will this be happening? At your premises?
No, we're going to organize it at the University of Chupa. It's the School of Law.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So you know where to go on 5th August. Go find out more about human trafficking and how it's being combated and ways to, improve the fight against human trafficking at Juba University, the School of Law, on 5th August. And what else is the UN Association in South Sudan doing with the task force to find more durable solutions to this issue?
Thank you. Our main task is advocacy. Yeah, we need to engage the public to understand better the term human trafficking and how they can address it, in addition to finding a durable solution, if any. Yeah.
Okay. And now back to you, Maulana Sabri.
Yes.
What is your, as you keep addressing these issues, being a lawyer and with the task force, what is your relationship with the government and the relevant authorities that you work with?
Yes, the relation is that the task force formed by the ministerial order from the government as a resolution from the cabinet ministers of the state. And the task force is under the Minister of Interior, whereby there is a two co-chair, one from Minister of Justice, represented by me, and the other one from the Minister of Interior.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a relevant government institution, like 20 government institutions represented in the task force. The important thing is that is the task force being mandated to advise the government on issues of policy. That's why now we are carrying out awareness campaign and capacity building with the help of the donors, and proposing for the Ministry of Interior to recommend to the Minister of Justice ratification of the Palermo Protocols and Convention, plus having comprehensive bill.
Yes.
And then also having at least a hotline for reporting, whether reporting existence of human trafficking or the victims need for help.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And to conclude also, we are saying that interviewing a victim will help us a lot. That's why we are making our carrying out capacity building so that victim could not be deported, because from the victim we can drive a lot of suggestion, we can drive a lot of proposal and measures that can be used for countering human trafficking not to occur in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So we are appealing that in case of any victim of human trafficking not to be prosecuted, to be interviewed and to be protected in terms of giving medical supports and the needs for the victim. And also in the identification of the victim, also we are asking that not to be punished or not to be harassed, and also to be treated with dignity, so that at least the victims can feel safe and
okay.
confidence and tell all the history.
Which brings me to another question. We've talked about South Sudanese in South Sudan,
yes.
and South Sudanese out of South Sudan. Do we have cases where foreigners are being brought into South Sudan, and how are we managing those cases?
Most of these cases, they are being brought for the human trafficking to exist. There is like the source country, mm-hmm. and then the transit country, and then the exit.
Yes.
Most of the foreigners, they are being brought through South Sudan and exit to Libya.
Oh.
Or they will go to
okay.
Europe. But
okay.
the problem, most of the victims, they are not reporting.
They are not reporting.
They are not reporting. But there is a numbers, intelligence reports, saying that most of these people went through South Sudan.
And why do you think they're not reporting? What is blocking this? Because I believe this is a very major issue. Because then,
yes.
if you don't have cases, you can't address them.
The problem, because the mechanism the traffickers use against the victim, for example, in some situation they intimidate the victim, they intimidate the family. Sometimes they confiscate documents of the victim, and the victim will be vulnerable. So that, for example, if he reported, then other corrupt official can be considered the victim is entering illegally to the country, and then he will be deported back. So victim, the interest that, for example, to go in immigration in abroad,
mm-hmm.
so he will be complying with the traffickers so that he will get out of the country, so he will not be reported.
Okay.
Yes, this is a mechanism some of the traffickers using.
And so how can we address this, Joseph? What are the ways that you are trying to address this? Because it seems like
yes.
a very technical
yes.
problem.
Yeah, really very technical. I also work closely with the migrant associations,
mm-hmm.
yeah, in Juba, like the Ethiopian community, Rwandan, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, according to Malwana, we have not yet gotten any evidence from them
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, some of them have been trafficked.
They're not reporting, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, I hope one time.
I think it's also a sensitive issue.
Yeah.
Somebody does not want to allow themselves, you know, be... like I was deceived.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a human issue. We want to be decisive. We want to look like we are in control.
Yes.
So really, does this need some level of counseling, or what kind of awareness can we have to make sure that people actually know that it's important to report such cases?
I don't know. I mean, it may take time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for people to be sensitized on the importance of such reporting.
Okay.
Otherwise, you know, human beings are so slow.
We are very slow.
Yes.
In addition to that also,
yes.
The other forms of human trafficking, it will be easily identified through the clinics and the hospital, whereby the victim can go in case of abuse
mm-hmm.
or physically abuse. Then the element will be appeared through the medical checkup, and then
yeah.
if there is a reporting center, then the nurse can report to the police, police can report to, and then victim will be approached and then will be interviewed. He can also guide people to who is behind the law, the crime. Then again, also through the labor inspectors, can inspect the companies and the field operation, like for the agriculture or for the mining. Then they will identify, for example, children being used there, mm-hmm. and even victims, and they can ask whether they are being given weight or given salary or the condition of the work. If they found that it is considered labor trafficking, then they have a obligation to report. But unfortunately, some of them are not train about the element of human trafficking and even are not facilitated to go to this area so they can approach the victims and brought the victims. So it matters.
As we're about to conclude, if you have a question, you can call in right now and ask your question, because this is something quite serious. If you have a question, you can go ahead and ask a question. I'll definitely pick up your call. But before we take the call, there's a question here on the text line. This is David Aguerquel from Rock City. He says, what plans do you have to make sure that this human trafficking is totally mitigated? And I would say maybe put a timeline on it in the next maybe 2-3 years, 5 years, 10 years. What are those plans? You've mentioned all these problems. That means you need to have solutions to them in order to address the issue completely.
Yeah, for us as a task force, we already recommending to the government that the government should have a comprehensive law where all the international standards for combating human trafficking will be separated in the law, like how to prevent the victims, how to prevent the human trafficking not to occur, how to protect the victim, how to prosecute the traffickers, how to rehabilitate, and the bodies that can be tasked. And then again, we will also, we are recommending to the government the ratification of the Palermo Convention and Protocol, Convention for Transnational Organized Crime. In these two protocols, the government will benefit that they will have mutual legal assistance with the countries. They will be able to extradite criminals. They will be able to share information. So if the traffickers in Uganda, for example, and the victim in South Sudan, and they use, for example, means from other country, then we can collect the information and we can be able to exchange information through the convention we are going to ratify.
Okay.
So this is the other approach. And then bringing the agencies, for example, for rehabilitation, for protection, for carrying out awareness campaign, this also will reduce and will enlighten people about their rights.
All right. Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yes. Just you as well, you can add to that.
Yeah, only one point.
Yes.
Yeah. In addition to what Maulana said, I think it would be more appropriate for us in South Sudan to establish a migrant response centers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like in hotspots. Yeah, areas like Nimuli,
mm-hmm.
Rang.
The border point.
The border point, mm-hmm. yes. So even Juba itself. So we need to establish the migrant response centers as hubs for documenting and providing support to victims of trafficking.
Okay.
Yeah, who are mainly migrants, maybe from other countries. Yeah. So that, I think, will also add to what we need to do in South Sudan.
Okay.
Hmm.
All right. This brings us to the end of our conversations today. What would you like to add finally? And also, today is Matters Day. You can give a message to the listeners.
Yes, our message, I will give it in Arabic so that
people
can understand. Human trafficking, والجرب البشر ونحن بنقول بأن أصوات الضحايا بتقودنا للطريق في أن كيف نحن نحارب الظاهرة بنشجع المواطنين في أن يعني يعمل لنا ريبورت لو في أني يعني بيقولوا شنو استغلال للزول لأغراض بتاع دعارة والأغراض بتاع جنس والأغراض بتاع الزواج القصري والأغراض بتاع العمل القصري فهم لازم يعني يجوا يعملوا ريبورت سواء كان لنا في النيابة ولا في وزارة الداخلية لأنه في مكتب لمكافحة بتاع الإيجار بالبشر واستغلال بتاع بشر وإحنا بنفتكر بأن يعني ده حق بتاع الفيكتيم في أن لازم يدلوا حماية
Mm-hmm.
Yes, فأنا هنا من جانبنا بيننا فهيكون في برامج كتير زي ما قبل ذكروا
mm-hmm.
هيكون في محاضرة عامة في جامعة جوبا ناس يجوا فيه
right.
خمسة وهيكون في also زيارات للولايات عشان نعمل awareness Ohio Kunfi, also yani Najib Nazmin wilayat lel awareness u hanamel tadrib le القانونيين ولناس الشرطة وأجهزة الأمنية عشان ما يكون في تداخل في العمل وأخيرا عشان ما يكون يعني الزر البيكم ده ما يعمل له إبعاد يدو فرصة عشان يقدر يتكلم عشان يقدر نعرف ده من وراه
هو بيساعده كمان
بيساعده
شكرا شكرا مولانا صبري وجوزيف your last remark
yeah only one remark I think also the media should be empowered to do more on the issue of human trafficking
yes
Yeah, from our site, we're going to provide the, I mean, Mirai FM with the radio messaging. Yeah, that can be played from time to time for people at least to hear.
To keep awareness.
To listen to it. So it will be in both Arabic and English. So I'm going to forward to you later.
All right.
Yeah.
Definitely, we need to create awareness on this issue. It's really happening. You know, for a moment, I didn't even know that forced marriage falls under trafficking. I thought it has to be from Uganda to South Sudan. Or, you know, I've learned a lot today. Thank you so much for coming. And we hope to have more on these conversations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. A good day to you and happy Matters Day. Thank you for coming on a holiday.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, and happy World Against
World
Trafficking.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, we've been talking about human trafficking, trafficking in persons. This is a day against it. This is a day to remember that this is a grave violation of human rights, and the whole world on this day comes together to talk about this issue and find solutions, durable solutions. And in South Sudan, UN Association of South Sudan and a task force that has been set to counter trafficking in persons in South Sudan are working together to make sure that the issue is addressed. We've seen that there are so many challenges. One of them is people are not reporting these cases. And why? Because they have hope that they are not being deceived, even though they see signs of it. But for some reason, they still want to go where they need to go, and they end up victims, and it's not good. So if you're out there and you know somebody, please report to the office of UNAS, which I actually need to find out. Where is the office again?
Yeah, we are at the former Juba Post building.
Former Juba Post building.
Amdis compound.
Amdis compound. There you go. That's where you can go to report. So thank you again, once again, for coming.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
All right.